Well, this morning, I want to talk about the God that is our I Am. I want to expound on that a little bit this morning. Because for me, it kind of struck me as a funny name for anybody, let alone a name for our God and Maker. So I want to start out with the story in Exodus, and it's really fascinating. And the more I look at it, the more I'm intrigued. One thing that stands out to me is we don't all experience God the same way. And that's a good thing. There's no cookie cutter formula. There's not a recipe which says add a little of this and a pinch of that, but not too much. And presto, you meet God. It's often based on our personalities and our callings. It was a process for me. God was calling me for years. And I'd like to tell you this morning that I didn't hear him. But that'd be a fib. I heard him loud and clear. But I chose not to listen. It would have been just as easy for me to choose God as my personal Savior. But at that point in my life, I had what I thought was more important things. And I certainly would have never referred to Him as I Am. But for some of you, it was a radical, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am type of experience. It was a moment in time that you will never forget. And that moment in time that you hold on to forever and ever is part of your DNA. And it's really great to have that moment. It was that way for Moses as well. You see, Moses was just out doing his job as a shepherd. He's minding his own business. He turns his head and there this crazy bush which is on fire but not burning up came into his sight. Now, I think probably most of us would run away. But not Moses. Moses was drawn to it. You see, that was his first meeting with the divine. So where is it that you talk to God and you hear His voice? Where is it that you find peace and comfort and worship and celebration? Where is it when you read the Word which transformed your heart and your spirit and your mind? For a lot of us, it's when we do our daily devotion. For some of us, all of these comes to mind as we experience something in our surrounding. For me, it's when I'm in the woods. For me, it's when I'm sitting in my deer blind. And then it's also for me, sometimes when some idiot decides to cut me off in traffic, and should have done everything that'll ram into me and kill me, but he didn't, because God was traveling with me. And I could go on and on and on with that list, but I'm just trying to make a point that we need to recognize these times that we are called to be with Christ. Just as Moses was drawn to that bush. You see, God was saying to Moses, come, come to me. You see, that's the call of God in our lives. God is telling us to come. Come to me. Notice that God did not speak until Moses came to him. Did you catch that? He waited patiently, waiting for Moses' response. Moses heard God's words, and he chose rather to ignore it and pay more attention to his sheep to come and check out that burning bush that's talking to me. That's how it is for us also. Moses needed to take that step towards God, even though he wasn't sure what he was stepping into. Now put yourself in Moses' place. Like I said, I think for most of us, we'd run away. You see, if we were not talking to God and listening to God, then when he speaks to us, we very well may miss that call or answer to our prayers. Did you catch that? If we get so hung up or so wrapped up in what else is going on in our lives that we really have more interest in, we run the danger of not hearing God say, come to me. So Moses had to draw near. He had to approach that bush in order to hear God's voice and begin his relationship with God. True for us. We need to approach the bush so we can hear the words, come to me. If we do not do that, it is very, very difficult to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, when God is calling us, he wants us to move into a relationship with him. But we have to take that step and draw near to Christ. As the story goes, Moses is meeting with God. It's holy ground. God tells him to take off his sandals. And as this conversation goes, we see Moses' insecurities. If God's going to call me, I may not feel quite as adequate. So I might question it. I want to read the scripture to you this morning out of Exodus chapter 3. I can't read what I got down here. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Moses was curious. Isn't that interesting? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within that bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then God said, I have indeed seen the mystery of my people and misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on the mountain. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name of which by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. This is the word of God for the people of God. We associate names with a person's character. Let's play a little game. Don't shout the answer out, but just note your reaction. Joe Biden. I said don't respond. Donald Trump. Milli Vanilli, Peyton Manning, Audrey Hepburn, Paul Newman, Jesus. You see my point? Names mean something. They have a rich meaning. Yet God gives Moses his name that really, in many respects, doesn't have a good translation. Most of us can look at our names and find some sort of meaning. For example, Michael means who is like God. When we read about Michael, that's a really true statement, isn't it? At first glance, God gives Moses this somewhat arbitrary name. I am who I am. So what's so great about this name is that in many respects, God is telling Moses, you cannot define me. I am beyond description. There are no words that serves the purpose properly. That's why that burning bush is not disintegrating in the heat and smoke and the fire. Now here's a take that Gary Zinger came up with on this thing. The names that I mentioned earlier in our little game, one thing that came to mind in every one of them names, it describes if you're a man or a woman. Now some people get crazy sometimes, I understand that, but generally speaking, the name Audrey is a woman's name. And the list goes on. One of the things I believe is why God told Moses, I am what I am, is because God cannot be identified as a man or a woman. He is neither. He is God. To me, we could come down with a list of things on why God called himself as I am. But I like to think that I am gives no impression or description of who or what God is, because there are no words that can describe our Almighty God. What word could you give him that would let somebody know who God is? What word could you use that could let somebody know what God does? There are none. So the name I am is all encompassing. That wraps around who and what God really is. It says nothing can contain me. I'm here, and I'm here, and I'm everywhere. I'm over there. He's everywhere at the same time. What name could you give somebody that is omnipresent? So he tells Moses, when you talk to the people of Israel, my chosen name, tell them I am has sent you. You're part of the people who are about to be freed. You're going to ask Moses, what exactly does that mean? What do you mean, Moses, tell them that I am has sent you? What do you mean? I don't understand. I am who I am. That's what it means. What's that all about? I'm not sure how Moses would have explained it away. How could you explain something like that? There's no words that are appropriate. After all, he had this burning bush experience and a few other experiences along the journey to back him up. God took time to show Moses that his staff can turn into a snake. And his hand can become diseased and then healed. How do you give a descriptive name to somebody that can do that? Even Aaron had a conversation with the Lord. He's going to do some of the talking for Moses. So when they finally arrived in Egypt, Moses met with the Pharaoh, who was probably wondering what this guy doing back here. He ran away once. Why would this guy come back? Now look at what Pharaoh says to Moses. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. And moreover, I will not let Israel go. Now, what name could Moses have given Pharaoh that would describe that? What do you think Pharaoh, how do you think Pharaoh would have responded if Moses had said, I am, has sent me? You see, the Exodus story is more than a story. And that's what I want to pass on in the next few minutes. God tells Moses, I am who I am. Moses is moving into totally uncharted territory. He's out of his comfort zone. He's giving God every excuse he can think of, yet God tells him, go. Go to Egypt and proclaim who I am to my people and to the Pharaoh. Tell him to let my people go. So with that in mind, as you think about your situation in life, in those moments when you have quiet time with God, when you're worshiping God and you have a revelation from God, whatever it is that God is calling you to do, how do you feel about it? I think every one of us here this morning has had the same response that Moses had. What do you mean? I can't do that. Are you kidding me? I'm not educated enough to do that. Well, I don't really want to do it. I have something more important. And it goes on and on and on. Or are you the person that's thinking and saying, yee-haw, let's go, let's talk to the world together? I dare guess that everyone sitting here this morning did not have a yee-haw response to the I am. I would say that our responses usually are more dread or some fear or some anxiety or some worry that quite possibly you've misunderstood God. God couldn't have been asking me to go into the world and make disciples. Are you kidding me? I don't even know how to do that. Where do I start? I have a hard enough time thinking I'm a disciple, yet you might want me to go into the world? This cold, cruel world, you want me to go out there all by myself and proclaim Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Lord, do you think you could send my brother or sister over there? I'm not sure they're more equipped, but I don't care if they are or aren't. I just don't think I am and don't want to risk it. Usually, we have feelings of being inadequate. Certainly God wouldn't be calling me. Yet I fully believe if God is going to call you, he's not going to abandon you. If God calling us to do something, he has promised that he will give you whatever it is you need to go forth and make disciples of men in any way that you choose to do it. God will be with you. He has promised that. And here's my proof of that. He's not going to throw you out there and hope you figure it out. The story of the burning bush and the first conversation Moses had with God is meant to help us trust more in who God says he is. It's a reminder for you and I about who God is in our everyday lives. God is our I am. And this is what I want you to take away from this message. It's as if God was telling Moses, I need you to carry out your God-given assignment. Did you catch that? God-given assignment. The I am is asking you to go forth and make disciples of all men. Whatever you need me to be, that's who I'll be. That's what God's saying. If you need me to perform miracles, I will. Wouldn't that be awesome? If you're in the work of the Lord, and all of a sudden this miracle happens in front of you, in front of those that you are speaking to, or in front of those that you are present with, wouldn't that be awesome? If you need me to perform miracles, I will. I will. If you need food and water, I will provide. If you are afraid, I will strengthen you. I will never fail or forsake you. When Moses took on this assignment, he didn't know what he would need, but God knew exactly what he would need. And he promised to provide it. It is no different for you and me. I could never stand here this morning and say what I'm saying and do what I do without God giving me the words, the gifts, and the talent to talk to you people this morning. I don't have a 4-year degree. I just have the Holy Spirit. I don't have all of these talents on my own. Without the Holy Spirit, I cannot do what I attempt to do without the I am walking with me. Whatever we need, God will provide. It is not always in the way we want because God is looking down the road and we can't see past this minute. But that's okay. Because God is our provider. He is the one who blesses us beyond our comprehension. He is the one who has promised not to abandon us. He is the one, oh boy, he is the one who died for us. Are you kidding me? and we don't want to hear them. We don't want to listen to his call for us to come, even though he is the one that died a cruel, cruel death on the cross. He is the one who forgives us and offers us life. Are you kidding me? He is the I Am. He died for us. And it would be a waste if he did, if we didn't hear the call and respond accordingly. Let's go back to the burning bush. When we see that bush burning, but not being destroyed, could that also be a symbol for us, a very stark reminder that God is with us in the midst of the storm, in the fires of life? Just as God was with Moses in that burning bush, God is with us. He offers us mercy and grace. He promises that we will not be destroyed because of the storm. He promises to meet us in the fire of life. He promises not to fail us, not to always, but to always, always, always be where we need him to be. He is our I Am. He is in the midst of the good and in not so good. He is in the cool breeze and the hot steam. He is new life and death. He's our I Am. He is our I Am. He promises to be with us today, tomorrow, and every day thereafter, in this life and in eternity. Because he is the I Am. I want to finish with three words. That's our God. Amen. Thank you. And all of God's people said amen.